is amazing the number of Christian Americans or American Christians that suffer from some form of stress, anxiety, and depression. And as we're going to see tonight, God has already provided everything that we do not have to experience that. So that's what we're looking at in the passage. We're looking now at where it comes from, in some sense, inside of us. And then we're going to examine what the Bible, what God has for us to tear down these fortresses, these strongholds in our soul, that the Holy Spirit can open our eyes in this very pertinent passage. Let's begin in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we live, as far as American history is concerned, in some troubling times. Our nation has gone so long in strength and power, peace, and a understanding of economic prosperity. But Father, as we have moved as a nation further and further away from you and from truth, the increase in satanic invasion, the increase in human viewpoint and human solutions, even in our churches, we find ourselves today, Heavenly Father, in a somewhat unique position in America, designing and planning and trying to muster it up to go into war, not a defensive war, but to go into war and start it. Americans are finding more and more uncertainty with their lives in this country. They've been trusting America for a long time, beginning to realize now that the placement of our faith was wrong. And when a people discover that the placement of their faith is wrong, it becomes very discouraging, frightening as to what to do. And Father, just thank you so much for taking us on the journey of stress, anxiety, and depression and being who we are in Christ. Pray, Father, that you will be the instrument that gets these tapes into the hands of those who experience these things, that will listen, that will respond to what is said in the Word. Tonight, Heavenly Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes and our ears to the things we might see how simple it is to tear down these fortresses in our soul. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is picking it up where we are so we can move on into it tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 3, "For though we walk," that's our daily life, "in the flesh," that's in our, not in a bad sense, but just in our fleshly body, that's controlled by the laws of nature and gravity and all these kinds of things and age and all of this. So we walk in the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. In other words, and I broke it down for you the way that he has it, the main thing here are the prepositions, in the flesh. That's how we walk. But notice the change in the preposition, according to the flesh, is not how we're going to war, not according to the flesh. And you'll also recall the use of the word war, that he takes our ordinary daily life and puts it in the framework of a war. Some Christians are amazed at the number of Christians that are ending up in divorce. I'm amazed at the ones that make it, because we are in a war. And Satan's objective is to neutralize marriages, families, churches. Church splits where Christians malign and judge and slander and hate and anger and separate And do the same thing in our marriages, same thing in our churches, same thing in our lives with people. We devour one another, as per Paul's word in Galatians. And we live in a time in American history, certainly not world history, certainly not even the history of the church. But we live in time now in American history, and I'm sorry that a lot of preachers like to interpret the Bible by American history, because we're Johnny come late on the spot, and history has been a lot worse than it is right now. But it is bad, but it's been worse. If you don't think so, just how would you have liked to have lived in Spain during the Inquisition and lived in Germany different times, even in England, and it got very ugly. We're talking killings and murders. How would you have liked to have lived in America during the predominant days of the witch hunt in the East, which far expanded Salem? The Puritans were horrible people. The Puritans were self-righteous, judgmental people. And they like to judge and separate, kick people out of the family, out of the everything in the church and the family. So America's moving today, where I just heard today, this very day, a father, and I think it was Florida, don't hold me to that, but a father murdered a 2-year-old daughter, his daughter, from his genes, from him, not his stepdaughter, his daughter. Beat her to death because she ate his morning sausage. We won't let people buy cars unless they have a certain amount of money and a reasonable way of telling they're going to be able to pay for it. But that's the way we can. That's what we do with our children: sexually abuse them. And then there are a lot of Christians who would not sexually abuse their children, but boy, how they do abuse them. They put them under Satan's lie, the performance trap. You've got to perform to earn mommy and daddy's love. And they never live up to what dad wanted them to be. Never live up to what mom wanted the little girl to be. All these kinds of things. And the damage that we do, that you have to perform in other people's opinion, living under Satan's lie. And we've hurt a lot of people in America. I used to shine that kind of stuff. Oh, well, all that stuff going back to when you were a child, that's all baloney. Because that's what I was taught, and it's wrong. Things that happen in our childhood and infancy and when we're growing, if not taken care of, build these fortresses that we're talking about right now in the soul. And they distort the whole relationship with God and cause us to react and to deal with issues and problems and circumstances in the manner in which so many people do, and to live a life in stress, anxiety, and depression about their life. So we're dealing with how are we going to come out of all of this in this study. And in 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. We're not going to war and battle according to the flesh. And then we've been in verse 4 now. For the weapons, if we're in a war, we've got to have weapons. For our weapons of our warfare, and we're in this warfare, are not of the flesh. And I'll come back to that as we go through this study, what it means, not of the flesh. But divinely powerful, and we've already studied, exegeted that in its grammatical form. Power that is given by God, supplied by God. We went to Galatians chapter 3, and this is reference to the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the divine powerful for? The destruction of the fortresses. This brought us, okay, let's see if we can talk about the fortresses. And what I tried to do, rather than give you 10, 15 points and do a lot of stuff, I tried to make it as simple as I could and as brief as I could. And so we've got it down into 4 points now. So let's take a quick look at the 4 points of these fortresses that are inside of our mind, these fortresses that are inside of our soul. How y'all doing tonight? Inside of us. And these are the fortresses that are being talked about. And then I sit there, she thinks I spit little balls on her. I try not to. Okay. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, or actually in verse 4 now. And we're looking at what are these fortresses. So let me see if I can help you briefly to get a handle of these fortresses, especially those that suffer and experience stress, anxiety, and depression. Remember what we're looking at here is that we've covered one difficult ground on all of this, and that is that you choose to be stressed or depressed. That's a choice. It's not something that comes involuntary. It is you choose to be. Now, we've made it over that. A lot of people, no, I didn't choose this. Why would I choose to be depressed and stressed out and all that? And we've dealt with all of that. Whatsoever man thinketh, so he is. So, but it seems like it's involuntary, and I know that. And now where we are in our study and in this journey of stress, anxiety, and depression, where does it come from? Well, we've already taken a look at the seven-headed dragon of our soul, and now we're looking at these fortresses. So let's take a look now in verse 4, for the destruction of fortresses. So we're going to look now at the fortresses at this point. Now we'll get a little bit more in the next verse. And we've noted now four things, and let's just quickly look at them. One, a fortress. Stronghold. I like stronghold because a stronghold has got a hold on you. And it's strong, people. And a fortress is good because you think of a fortress as this fort that's on the top of the mountain, and the lofty point where it can look all over, and it's a strong fortress that you can't penetrate inside of it. The enemy can't. So here we have inside of our soul a stronghold that our study is an immaterial structure, immaterial, so we're not going to be able to use material things against it. Built in the mind and the soul, and it's built through persuasive arguments. Now that's going to come up. Where did I get that? I got that from verse 5, where it talks about speculations and a lofty thing, and that, I'll come back to that. But they are built through persuasive arguments, and substantially by Satan's lie. The arguments that come from Satan's lie that causes us to build the fortresses through these persuasive arguments of Satan's lie. Now, what is Satan's lie then? So you have it right on the top of your mind here. Satan's lie is that my self-worth, who I am, and people, that is so important. Do not, there are preachers who shun that. And God made every one of us to have a self-worth look at ourselves. What happens to a lot of people sometimes? Well, I'm just no damn good, and it doesn't matter what I do. And I'm just terrible, and I'll never be good. And so, I'm just going to go this direction. And there are a lot of people that reach that point in life, and the preachers and churches make them feel like they're losers and call them losers and all this type of thing. Well, if I am, then I'm just going to forget it. It's not going to work. So there's just so many things that happen in our soul by Satan's lie. That my self-worth, because we all have to have an ideal of our self-worth. Our self-worth is made up of my performance. It comes in the family with a child, and it comes into marriages, and multitude of preachers bond people, enslave people to Satan's lie with this performance thing, plus others' opinion of me, and don't ever downplay the importance of others' opinion of you. That's the whole study of the first book of the Bible written, Job, where his three friends crushed his soul. He cared what they thought, and they let him have it. And then Christ tells us later on in the Gospels, how can you believe? How can you walk by faith when you seek glory from one another, from other people? Except. So opinion is very important. All right, so point one, a stronghold here is an immaterial structure built inside of your mind through persuasive arguments. So that's what they're built out of. And people, I want you to understand now, this is where your stress, anxiety, and depression is going to feed out from, the stronghold. Point two. By the way, in the point one, in order, the reason Satan builds these strongholds in order to divert the mind from being who you are in Christ. Satan's doing this, and the flesh is doing this. Your flesh self does not want you to be who you are in Christ. So the flesh self is going to manufacture these things along with the Satan using your persuasive arguments of Satan's lie. Point two, these fortresses, strongholds in your mind, in your thought patterns that actually govern how you think, how you deal with the things that happen in your life. And again, this is why stress, anxiety, and depression seem so involuntary. It just shoots right out of there, of your thought process, that this is what you think of yourself, this is what you think about life and about you. Point three, stronghold that must be torn down, These fortresses that protect, now listen now, that protect and defend your flesh nature. And we studied the flesh nature under the big five characteristics of the flesh nature. And this fortress is there to protect. These fortresses are there to protect the flesh nature. And from these fortresses comes the oppression in your life. There are enemy fortresses inside of your body. And they are designed to bring oppression in your life, keep you controlled in that sense. Point four. Strongholds are those fortresses inside your mind, your soul, where the power of Satan hides, not in the well, but the power of Satan hides in that philosophy and that thought process, hides and is protected. Protected inside of his fortress. Just think of a old medieval type of fort, if you will, sir. I don't think you want to think about the growing up, you used to watch a lot of cowboy and Indian movies, and it always amazed me, they build these forts out of wood, built around it, and Indians drove fire and the walls are burned down. So if you're going to build a fort, you want something a little stronger than wood. Generally, there's always nice fresh wood that couldn't burn up, and it just wasn't going to work. So these are made like concrete in your soul, how they destroy your life. All right, strongholds, point four, these fortresses inside your mind, where the power of Satan is protected and seeks to control you, keep you thinking that you're unworthy, inadequate, a loser, a wasted life. You deserve God not giving to you any blessing. You deserve God to punish you, to treat you badly. You deserve it. You deserve what happens in your life, in your childhood. And even if you reach the point where you realize you really didn't deserve it, you're marked for life. You're damned. You're doomed. You did not deserve what happened to you in your marriage, what your husband did and the way they were, your wife, your parents. It's just not fair. Your life has fallen apart and there's nothing you can do about it. Economically, marriage, all your dreams, all your hopes. It's just been a horrible life and you deserve it. Somehow or another, you deserve it. You're doomed. People, this is a basic fundamental thought of man. Christians. The Christians really, whether they would write it out or not, just in the day in and day out of life, most Christians are like Job's three friends. Bad things happen to you, you must be bad. Good things happen to you, you must be good. I love the songs and the scenery and everything in the movie of Sound of Music. Now, there are a few things in there, of course, that are problematic, but we're not here to execute the movie, but there's a song. And the Von Trapp family girl said it was saying that I must have done something good when I was young, when I was little, to get the love, this person to love them. Of course, that didn't work out, but the idea was, okay, I did something good, and that's why this is happening to me. And then the opposite is true, though. If something bad happens, then I deserve that. And whether we would make a long philosophy out of it, that's the way in our mind we think. Boy, God is just letting me have it. That my marriage is falling apart, or I was abused, or this is happening, and I'm always picked on, and God is doing this, and all these things inside my soul. And I must really not be any good. If I was good, God wouldn't do all this. So this is all coming from these fortresses inside your soul. You can't please anyone. You can't please your mom, your dad. You never have and you never will. You can't please your husband, your wife, people at work. You can't satisfy the husband and wife. The church, you're never good enough of what everybody else is doing in the church. Now, all these fortresses in your mind, they're to keep you in the flesh, to keep you away, people, from who you are in Jesus Christ. These fortresses defend Satan's lie and all of the arguments that come out of Satan's lie, like the Mosaic Law. Mosaic Law is one of the strongest opponents of Satan's lie, and preachers in the church preach it and want to control people by it. You've got to perform for God as per the Mosaic Law, and if you don't, God will get you. So you can either choose to live on Mount Sinai, or you can choose to live on Mount Zion. It's entirely up to you. And when you decide to live on Mount Sinai, and that's the God you're going to deal with, you're never going to be good enough because your standard is perfection. And preachers try to keep everybody on Mount Sinai. So these fortresses are designed to keep you in the flesh, keep you from who you are in Christ. They defend Satan's lie and the arguments that come from it. They try to keep you in a state of sad, stress, anxiety, and depression. All the time, from within you, trying to destroy your life. This is why people, they seem to be involuntary. It's why sad seems to be involuntary. But it's not. We choose it. But we're choosing it because of these fortresses that are going on inside of our soul. These fortresses, therefore, must be destroyed. That's why we're in a war. They must be destroyed. So you can live a life free of sad, of stress, anxiety, and depression. They must be destroyed before you can live who you are in Jesus Christ. But now we come to the great question. How? How am I going to do that? How are we going to destroy these fortresses? We can't do it with the flesh, and yet they're in and of the flesh. How are we going to do it? How are we going to tear down these fortifications inside of our soul that cause stress, anxiety, and depression? Stress, anxiety, and depression are not from without. Your husband does not cause you to be stressed out. Your circumstances do not cause you to be depressed. We've studied this and gone over it, and if you're still in denial of that, let's say you're listening to these tapes and you're suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression, and you still deny that, then these tapes are going to do you no good, I'll tell you right now. You're in denial. You have to quit denying. Don't be afraid to do it, because the more that we come to the truth, people, the better off we are. And we're going to come to the solution here. So, they must be destroyed. How are we going to tear down these fortresses that cause stress, anxiety, and depression that is not from the outside, it's from inside. It's not from your circumstances. It's not your husband, your wife, not your past, not what's done to you when you were a little child. God, I feel sorry, and I'm just horrified at the things that adults will do. But I'm here to tell you, you're not doomed for the rest of your life. Your God is bigger than that. Your God is much bigger than that. And you can live free of stress, anxiety, and depression without drugs. But we have a war we're having to fight here. And that's what we're looking at. They're inside of you. So our thoughts precede stress, anxiety, and depression. We spent a long time with this. What we've got to learn to do is switch over to that FM, to the faith mindset. And we study that. We're going on with that now, with that understanding, without repeating all of that, but putting that in here. You choose to be sad. It's not involuntary. And remember, that's good, because now you can do something about it. Whatsoever man thinketh, so he is. So we want to switch over to FM, to the faith mindset. Okay, then. If they're not involuntary and they're coming from these fortresses, how are we going to tear them down? They arise in your thought process from these fortresses that we just defined. The stress, anxiety, and depression rise out from these fortresses. Satan has a network of building up in your mind from your past, from the present, from your understanding of things. Before you will be free of stress, anxiety, and depression, these strongholds must be brought down. They must be destroyed. It is not going to be easy. A stronghold is called a fortress because, why is it called a fortress in the Bible? Why is it called, given that type of a name, so that you understand what's going on in your soul? It's called that because a fortress is so difficult to assault. They do not come down easy. And if you started building some of these fortresses from your childhood, as many of us do, you started building them that far back. You started living in Satan's lie that far back. That it's your fault. That you were maltreated. It's your fault you could never please somebody. It's your fault you were raped. Your fault things are going on. Couldn't live up to what dad and mom wanted. All of these things start building a fortress inside your soul. And yes, something can be done about it. You don't need 50 hours of psychological therapy. I'm going to show you how easy it is. So we started building these strongholds by interacting with members of the human race and their ideologies and their philosophies and their ideas, all taken from Satan's lie, including the church. Now we're going to start tearing down these strongholds that Satan uses to control you, keep you in his lie, keep you thinking you're inadequate, keep you from living who you are in Christ, keep you from even believing who you are in Christ. These inner fortresses must come down. It's not going to be done, first point, it's not going to be done by the flesh. It's not going to be done by working hard. It's not going to be done by changing circumstances. More people have divorced their husband and wife because they blame them for their stress, anxiety, and depression, only to remarry this absolutely phenomenal person who also ends up, in their terminology, giving them stress, anxiety, and depression. Going to change where I live. Going to move. Going to change circumstances. That's one of the big ones. The cosmic world has ways to work and to fortify these forces inside of you. And many, many Christians run to these. They run to these solutions that are given to by the world. They coerce other Christians to go to human solutions. That just horrifies me when I hear Christians coercing other Christians to go to human therapy, human solutions. They praise what man can do over what God can do. And they're so self-righteous about it. They're just like Job's three friends. He crushed that man's soul. We're not going to break down these fortresses, these strongholds, by human strength, human weapons. No matter how strong of a person you may think you are. Well, I can lift this depression thing. I can do this. I can do that. You're not going to tear these down. The strongholds of Satan's lie by human effort. Why? Because your warfare is not against flesh and blood. Your warfare is not against flesh and blood. It is not used of the wisdom of the flesh. You're not going to be free of stress, anxiety, and depression by man's solution. That is, if you want to glorify God. Now remember, I just want to touch on this one more time. Yes, the world does have a lot of answers and a lot of solutions, and many multitude of unbelievers go, but so do a lot of believers. So do a lot of believers. Boy, they're trying all of these human solutions to help and work and bring down these fortresses in the soul, and if not bring them down, at least cause me to be able to live with them. Let's look at them again, some of these human solutions that come up to handling all of this. Drugs, things like yoga, exercise, change jobs, change husbands and wives, change churches, Christian pastors, counselors, and all these types of, they use the Bible and Bible doctrine to try to do all of this. Many denominations use the Bible to show you how you're saved by works, people. They go to the Bible and show you have to do something for God. And how all of the performance is right there in the Bible. They actually teach against Satan's lie by using Satan's lie. It's just amazing how deceitful all of these things are that build these fortresses inside of Christians from the pulpit. Okay, how are we going to do it? First of all, please remember that you are in Christ. That you believe in Jesus Christ. You are in Christ. You are a new creation in Christ, and we've well spent time on that in Corinthians. You are different. You are not of this world. You're not of this world. You got to just, in the midst of your hurting, and I know some people listening say you're hurting, and I know that. But where it's going to begin, your journey for recovery is going to, and for being free of stress, anxiety, and depression, it's going to begin with remembering you're different. You're not of the world. So if you desire to be liberated from stress, anxiety, and depression, if you want to destroy these strongholds inside your own soul, God's way, let me tell you how simple it is. It's as simple as trusting Him. Trusting the Spirit of the living God. Just trusting Him. I know. Now stay with me. I know what some of you are thinking. That's just too easy. That's just too easy. I need something far more complex than that, because my problem is far more complex than that. I'm a complex person. See, you don't understand. I was raped when I was a little girl or a little boy. See, you don't understand, because you didn't grow up in a family where you just couldn't satisfy your mother and dad and you were never good enough. See, you don't understand. My problem's really deep. You don't understand what it's like to be married to this person. You don't know what it's like to always feel like you're a loser. No, it's not that easy. You can't just give me that little cliche. It's going to be resolved simply by trusting. Because mine is so deep, and I need something very complex. Most Christians, especially those who prefer knowledge, study, knowing, all of this type of thing, they prefer much more involved strategy and tactics for breaking down these fortresses of the soul. Boy, you've got to learn lots of doctrine to break it down. And not only that, I'll tell you what, that group and other groups, you've got to have a lot of self-discipline. You've just got to forget those things, and that's what you just got to forget what happened to you as a child, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, and stand up like a man, and walk on, and not let these things get you down. Got to have a lot of work, apply a lot of doctrine, a lot of strategy and tactics. I'm here to tell you, I don't care if I offend anybody. I'm here to help. And those that are listening because they hurt aren't going to be offended. Those that are offended, I'm not even teaching to you. All this kind of stuff is arrogance of the flesh. The arrogance of the flesh, I want my problem to be highly complex. These are inner fortresses and problems in my past and abuse and neglect and control. So all this means that my problem is unique, and no simple little solution is going to cure and take care and get rid of stress, anxiety, and depression. I don't know how many of you know who Larson is. Larson is the writer of The Far Side that no longer is in the papers, but I'm a Far Side fan. So I'll never forget one. And I don't know where, I know I'm in the spirit right now, so he brought it to my mind. But the Frankenstein type of figure was sitting in this bar, at the bar, and of course he's got scars. You know what Frankenstein looks like. He's got scars and long 4 or 5 inches all over his head. And there's this guy sitting next to him. Oh, you want to talk about scars? Look at my hand right here. A little bit, about a half inch scar. You want to see a real scar? Look here. Well, I thought it was funny. Point being, my problems are really deep. My problems are, they're so deep, I need somebody really, really complex to handle all of this. See? Just the arrogance of the flesh. My problems are highly complex and no simple solution for it. They really need advanced psychologists. Psychiatrist. Oh boy, I go to Dr. So-and-so and boy, it just takes hours and I have to do all this stuff. Certainly the very best Bible teacher in the world with multitude of technical terms and deep theology. Simple faith in the Holy Spirit solution is just too simple. It's not enough for my problem. Now that may be for you wimps. People have little problems. Boy, when you're like me and you have real problems that I have, it's going to take years and years to get this out of me. I'm going to have to use a whole decade of my life in my 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s just to work on these strongholds, these things that have happened to me. And I may never get over it. That's my view of God. God will never be able to set me free of all of this stuff. There's a theologian that I want to talk about a moment. A day's gone by. Theologian's name is William of Ockham. I'll spell it for those of you on tape. Certainly not spell William. Occam, capital O-C-C-A-M. Sometimes it's spelled with K's. Encyclopedia Britannica, you can look under this one. William of Occam. He has, and I'm not going to talk a great deal about William of Occam. We're not here to study him. He was a theologian, philosopher, 1285 to 1349 A.D. So we're talking a long time ago. He came up with what is known today as Occam's razor. You know what a razor is? That's sharp. It just slices. Razor, just a nice little, deep little cut. The blood gushes out. This is his razor. This is his little thing that he developed. Now, there are many things that this man did, and well, I'm not going to get into all of his theology and philosophy and everything else. So I just want to comment on his razor, Occam's razor. And some of you are not going to like this. But those of you who suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression, you'll welcome this. One, meaning you, I, anybody, one should prefer explanations and solutions that are no more complicated than necessary for any given situation. And he applied this to an understanding of God. He applied it to principles of logic, principles of theology and philosophy. And it has been handed down to us, his little razor, that one should prefer explanations and solutions that are no more complicated than necessary for any given situation. And some of you are really not going to like this. Because more often than not, when a pastor or a teacher or a believer demands, now listen, because I'm going to hurt some of you, but I'm going to help some of you. I can't worry about those of you hurt. I'm here to help. When pastor, teacher, believers demand a complicated process, a process that depends on their self-discipline or their learning, all of this kind of thing is nothing more than an appeal of vanity, arrogance. Believers reject God's simple solution of just trusting His Spirit to tear down these fortresses, divinely supplied power, to tear down these fortresses because of the arrogance of the flesh. My problems, my fortresses, are not common. They're deep and difficult. And I need really complicated, demanding solutions. I need things that are going to demand a lot of me, and I've got to work hard. Okay? My answer to those of you is this. What was your state when you found Jesus Christ as your Savior? You were weak, dead, damned for eternity, had no ability of anything, far worse than what we're talking about with stress, anxiety, and depression. How difficult was your salvation? How difficult was it for God to take you from that horrible place as you were as an enemy of God and create you a new spiritual being? Did you have to learn a lot of doctrine? Did you have to have a lot of self-discipline? Did you have to have a lot of training? Did you have to take a long time? Or was it very simple for you? Was it just a matter? I just trusted in Jesus. And the moment I trusted in Jesus Christ, God did all the work. God took me from that dead person and made me a new spiritual being. How simple was it, people? If a grain of mustard seed of faith allowed God to make you a new spiritual creation, why can't you trust God to tear down the fortresses in your soul? Tear down the fortresses that man, parents, preachers, friends, like Job's friends, have built up inside your soul. Why can't you trust God to tear them down? Why can't we trust God with that same little grain of mustard seed of faith to start tearing down these fortresses, these strongholds of Satan, and trust Him to set your life free at the cross? I'm here to tell you, people, He can do it, and He will do it. This is what kind of God is. as you sit there, whenever you listen to tapes, you go through this, what's your view of God? I'm asking you seriously. You got to answer the question. What's your view of God? Stop the tape recorder and listen. Think for a minute. What's my view of God? Is my view of God, there's nothing you can do about it? Is your view of God is that this is, you're going to have to go the rest of your life with all of these fortresses inside your soul? Things that happened to you when you were a child, about your parents and about everything else and what the preacher's doing and all of this, what husbands and wives and friends and all this is done, and there's nothing that God can do about it? Is that your view of God? Then you've got a very small God. Is your view of God that God is part of the whole problem because God is doing this to you? That's what kind of God you got. He just likes to go around and give people stress, anxiety, and depression when they don't live up to his perfection. You've got a wrong view of God. You've got the wrong view of God, and you learned that at the cross. All you had to do is believe, and it could resolve all the problems of eternity. So you always want to remember, you're in a war. You're in a conflict. And not one that can be handled by the flesh. Not one that can even be understood by the flesh. It's an invisible one, a spiritual one, and a real one, and that's why we have the fortresses in our soul. Very real. It's not like the military forces that we engage in the battles and uniforms, wars, that we see with the eye, that we fight with the flesh. According to what? According to the weapons. We talked about weapons in 2 Corinthians 10. And the weapons of the flesh. Weapons of the flesh are sidearms, rifles, various types of guns, missiles, tanks, planes, all these kind of things. And how some of us really thoroughly enjoy and are stimulated by studying strategies and tactics of war. Basic ones, The Art of War by Sun Tzu, Alexander the Great, Frederick the Great, Napoleon, Robert E. Lee, Pat, and these people, MacArthur, people understand strategy, but we like to study them and we read them. And just maybe I'll get enough strategy and tactics down from Sun Tzu, I'll get enough tactics down from these people, I can apply it to my spiritual life and win this war. That's why you're still suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression. You don't have to learn the strategies and the tactics. I'm sorry you don't. I'm telling you from the Bible. You don't have to outsmart the enemy. You can't. If you think you're going to outmaneuver and outsmart the power of darkness of this world, then you're in denial of your own weakness. You're arrogant. And I'm just asking you not to do that. You cannot out-strategy, make your tactic maneuvers against Satan and against the network that he has in effect. You're not going to be able to do it. You cannot outthink Satan and all of his networks. All that you and I can do is stand still and trust the Spirit of the living God who's inside of us. See, the fortresses are inside of us. The Spirit of the living God is inside of us. He could tear down these fortresses. One of the reasons many Christians suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression is because they're trying to fight the spiritual war that's going on with the strategies and tactics of these men, the preachers. Well, we're going to strategize my life and outmaneuver and outthink and do this and do that. Learn all of the things I have to do. Learn about the terrain. Learn about all of this and just outfight him. You're going to lose. Yes, believer, you are in a war. But it's a strange kind of war. It's invisible, spiritual. I'll make a plea with you. Do not study these men and their wisdom and their strategy and their tactics to learn how to fight the war that you're in. Oh, if you want to enjoy that aspect of life, have fun. I have fun. I've read all these men. I read their books, and I love it. Studying the strategy and the tactics of the war between the states here in America. It's fun to read Sun Tzu. It's fun to do all of this stuff. But don't do it to fight the battle going on in your soul. The war that your daily life is in. You won't win. You are not going to outthink the power of darkness of this world. You're just not going to. Oh, I love to study Alexander the Great. The reason I like studying Alexander the Great, because he's probably one of the greatest geniuses in sensing the whole terrain of the battle, and he's not even been there before. He just comes into it, and there's the war right at him because the enemies are attacking. The genius of Alexander was to immediately put together everything that's going on immediately. They didn't have walkie-talkies and reports and all that. He immediately thought, and he could maneuver his armies and things in an unbelievable way. It's just almost mystical, if you please. And some of the wars that man was in, he just had it. So let's all study Alexander the Great. Let's all study Frederick the Great. Let's all study these people, and then let's put it into spiritual terms, and then we'll fight Satan. Don't do it. It sounds macho. It sounds appealing. Boy, now it's up to me. Now I'm going to learn this strategy. How good of a strategist am I going to be? How good of a toxic person am I going to be? Boy, I'm going to learn all of this stuff and study. Get it all done. Study some Bible. Study some Frederick the Great. Study these things. And I'm going to defeat and win this battle and not have all this stuff going on in my soul. You'll lose. Don't do it. Don't do that. All you have to do is just trust Him. You cannot outthink Satan. You cannot outthink. That's why Paul tells us, a war is against the powers of darkness. Stand still. Put on the armor of God and stand still. Again, one of the reasons so many Christians suffer and experience stress, anxiety, and depression is because they're trying to outfight, outmaneuver in the spiritual war they're in. You're in a war, but it's not going to be done with the wisdom of man. Please look with me at James chapter 3, verse 15. Here in our Bible class, we all have Bibles and stuff, but if you're listening on tape, I hope you have a Bible for these things. Thinking through it. If you're suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression, there are people who pay up to $75 to $100 an hour once a week for what you're getting free here on your tape. So take the time to open your Bible. Just take the time to... I don't mind the people that really listen to it in the car and they listen to it while they're doing this and while they're doing that. But if you're really suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression, take the time to open the text. And let's look at James chapter 3, verse 15. James chapter 3, verse 15. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. The wisdom that most Christians and preachers are using to fight and tear down the fortresses in our soul and fight the warfare that we're in is from a wisdom that is not from heaven, not from above. But it's earthly. Now look what it says here. Earthly, natural, demonic. We occasionally come back here, and somewhere along in our study, we're going to have to study this verse because it's so important to all that we studied. Look, where did we start with? Setting your mind on the things above. Set your mind on things where Christ is, seated. Look what you have here. From above. There's that word again. People, you want your wisdom. You want what you're going to use to fight these battles that are causing distress, anxiety, and depression to come from above. You don't want it to be the wisdom of the earth. Now, look what it says. Wisdom, which is earthly. It's in the flesh. Remember what Paul, I'll read it to you, don't turn. But in the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, what it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The word flesh is what you have here, natural. The wisdom that most preachers and most people use is that which is related to the flesh, makes sense in the flesh, and is earthly. And what did Paul just say? It's not that our weapons are not earthly, not natural. And then demonic, that's the whole foundation of Satan's lie. That's how that gets in. So this is where it comes from. Wisdom, even that wisdom on how to fight a war or a battle, has to come from where you're supposed to live, and I'm supposed to live, and that's above where Christ is. So this is where the battle is. It's these fortresses inside of our mind, and you have to decide how you're going to defeat them. How you're going to defeat these fortresses. People, you don't get to choose the battlefield because that's in your soul. The battle's in your soul, in your brain, in your mind. But you get to choose where you want to fight from, where your strength is, and where the enemy is weak. And where is it? This place. Now listen. This place where you are strong and the enemy is weak is in your faith in God. I'll repeat that. The place where you are strong and the enemy is weak is your faith in God. When you and I are handling the stress and the depression of our lives by faith in Him, that makes your enemy weak. That's the one thing He doesn't want you to do in handling your stress. He does not want you to just trust God. When you trust God, He can't fight against that. He is weak. You have made Him weak, and you have made yourself strong. In a battle, you take the high ground. Where's the high ground? It's above. That's above. That's where you and I are from. People were from above. That's where we were born. That's where we're from. And that's where we want to live. You set your mind on the things above. And you know what? When you take that high ground of the wisdom that is from above, Satan is weak. He's from below. There's no contest. There's no contest. When you walk by faith to handle stress, anxiety, and depression, there's no contest. Satan can't handle that. He can't battle that. But the moment you can move over to the flesh and you're going to do it through your wisdom and you're going to do it through this and that, He's right back. He's not strong. And you're weak. You've entered into His arena. So Satan gets us to come down from that high ground up here and setting our mindset to the things that are above, to where Jesus Christ is, where we're from. He does his best to get you back down here and fight on His level, in the cosmos, in the world, using worldly weapons and worldly thoughts. What he wants to try to do, and you're back under Satan's lie. And people, when you go under Satan's lie, you can't win because you cannot perform well enough. If you, the moment you go back to Satan's lie, you are going to lose. And I'm going to tell you why you're going to lose and why stress and depression are going to come up, because God's standard is that you be perfect like God is perfect. And doggone it, I just can't be that perfect, and I'm just no good. And now look where I am. I'm right back into the depression. I'm right back pulling up all the things and the garbage in my soul and the hurt that I want to pull down and throw out. Let God do it. But the moment we go back under Satan's lie, you're dead. He's got you right where He wants you because you're playing in His battlefield. We're on earth, but we do not fight according to the earth. Please look with me at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We'll close with this. Ephesians chapter 6, another whole chapter. I don't know how long I'm going to go through the study of stress, anxiety, and depression. I'll go until the Spirit says that's enough. And then I'll stop and we'll do something else here. But until that time, because I want you to understand that everything I'm finding in the Bible is related to the spiritual warfare and trusting Him and how God doesn't want you to go through all of that. Ephesians chapter 6, you should have found it by now. Look at verse 12 with me, for our struggle. All right, Paul all of a sudden says, but we do not war according to the flesh. Here you have the same concept of struggle. For you'll find these words all through the writings in the New Testament. War, struggle, battle, all these things. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. See, that's the natural, the flesh. Earth. But against the rulers, powers, against the world forces of darkness, and you can't even see them. Against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places, and you're going to try to use Frederick the Great's strategy, Sun Tzu's strategy, to defeat the powers of darkness? It's like Paul said, we use divine given power. divine given power, and the divinely given power, we went to Galatians, is God the Holy Spirit. He will tear them down. Well, we'll begin here next week, but I want to close with this. The biggest battle in dealing with your stress, anxiety, and depression will be to just trust Him. Faith is the battle. To just trust God. That's why so many refuse to think that you're saved and accept the fact that you're saved simply by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is a battle. That's why so many believers refuse to say, to accept and believe the fact you're restored from sin back into the spiritual life by faith. Faith is the battle. That's what Paul said, and that's why I like to word it this way. Your salvation, tearing down these fortresses of the soul, all these kinds of things, a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression. It's very, very simple. But it's not easy. It's simple. That's a simple solution. Saved forever by an act of faith no more than a side of the seed of mustard seed. Being restored from sin, one little sin, or a long day of it, or a year of it, and you're restored by just one little act of faith. No, I can't believe that. You've got to do more than that. It can't be that simple. Look at all the sins you've done. Look at the way you were when you were saved, people. Have you received Him what? It is difficult to believe that all I have to do is to trust Him, and He will tear down these fortresses in my soul. That's just too simple. It cannot be that simple. Your salvation is that simple. And what's your view of God? Is your God that He can't do that? Won't do that? If you trust Him? So just come down, people, to this the real battle in tearing down these fortresses that bring about stress, anxiety, and depression. It's the battle of just trusting Him day in and day out. I trust you. I trust you to do this. And so many in the flesh will not do it. It cannot be that easy. You've got to do for God. No, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to do for God. You never have. You never will. And you can tear down these fortresses, and you can live a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression if you'll just do the simplest of all things. Trust Him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. Can it just be that easy? Doggone it, God, I've gone a long time with stress and depression. I've been depressed all my life. And you can tell me it's as simple as just trusting you? But I went a long time, an unbeliever headed for a lake of fire, and all I did was trust you. Maybe it is that simple. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to put you on the block. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to dare to just trust you to tear down these fortresses that have been in my soul for a long time, caused so much pain, give protection to the 700 dragons. I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to see what it's like to watch you transform me into the image of your Son. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen. Thank you.